Hear God's word, beginning at chapter 5, verse 1. John writes, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take your bed, and walk.' And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed.' But he answered them, 'The man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk.' They asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath." Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, in our study in the Gospel of John, we have seen encounters between Jesus and other people. Remember the third chapter, he had an encounter with Nicodemus. And then we looked at the fourth chapter, he had an encounter with the Samaritan woman. And then in the later part of the fourth chapter, he heals the nobleman's son who was ill. When we come to chapter 5, we see that Jesus has yet one more encounter, this time with a man who had an infirmity. And as it tells us in the text, he was laying at this poolside as an invalid for 38 years. Just think about that for a moment. For 38 years, an invalid at the poolside. Jesus meets this individual, and John structures his gospel in a way that we see that Jesus interacts with these people, and he is interacting now with this sick individual. But he is also going to describe for us what's going on in the background and introduce what someone has called the winds of hostility that are blowing from the hierarchy of the Jewish establishment against Jesus. We see that in this passage in verse 16. This is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus. And then verse 18, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Early on in John's gospel, we already see the establishment of the Jews, the Jewish rulers, the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, who are plotting to kill Jesus. And that's what this section of John's gospel is all about. This section begins with this study of Jesus' interaction with this individual, but it also describes his opposition, or the opposition against him that comes from the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And this miracle made them angry. This angry hostility that they had for him was so bad that it says in verse 18, they sought to kill him. That's not just a footnote that is there to remind you of what this gospel is all about. There's a structure to the gospel, and this gospel is all about Jesus, who is the savior of sinners, but the one who is not the one that the Jewish leaders in particular, or the Jews themselves, not the one that they wanted to hear. But Jesus came to this world, and he is pictured in this passage as the one who comes to those who are weak and those who are hopeless, and he comes to save them by his sovereign grace. And we will see that God, that grace in this passage, as we see the grace of God through the power of Jesus, in which he heals this man from his infirmity. Jesus comes to show this individual something that he really did not know. He didn't know that he was blind and lame and paralyzed. He knew he was sick. He knew that for 38 years. But notice that in the passage, Jesus, that the John is saying that the people there are described as blind and lame and paralyzed. It's kind of a small reference, but it's a reference that speaks to the truth and the reality of the human race. The human race as it stands apart from the grace of God and Jesus Christ. They're blind to the truth. They can't see it. When you think of being blind to the truth, who do you think of in John's gospel? Immediately, we should think of John 3, of Nicodemus, and he was blind to the truth, was he not? He didn't really see and understand the truth of Christ. When he met Christ, Christ told him you needed to be born again, and then he was all confused. He says, you mean I have to be go into my mother's womb and be born again? He didn't quite understand the truth that Jesus was the one that in that case he was to believe in, and the one who would tell him of his salvation. He was blind. He simply didn't see it. There are those who are the lame, the sick, and the paralyzed. And when you see those who are sick and paralyzed, it's a picture of those who are unable to do anything at all to help themselves. Notice that they all came to a place called Bethesda, this gate in the sheep gate. Verse 2 says there's a gate, and in Aramaic, the pool is called Bethesda, and this pool had 5 colonnades. It was a large place, and it was a place of healing. They understood that if they were to walk into the pool when the angel stirred the waters, that they might be healed. But he told Jesus that he had no ability to do that in this particular passage. What's interesting is that many claim that there is no such place as this pool of Bethesda. Many authors have said that. But recently, because of archaeology, there has been the discovery of the pool named Bethesda. It is Beth Eshatain. It was found among the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it named Bethesda as the twin pools, each surrounded by colonnades. In other words, here was a pool that was known for its healing waters. And now, through the discovery of archaeologists who have found other references to it, we have other references to it other than the scripture, and we have the reference to the pool for healing. In Christ's day, sick people believed that the angel would stir the waters. Whenever that happened, the next person that walked into the pool would be cured. And there was a man who was at the pool for 38 years. Think of the pitiful picture of this individual, unable to walk, unable to move, really. It's a sad description of the helplessness and the hopelessness of his physical condition, and it's the same as a picture of the helpless, hopeless condition of the human race. He was an invalid. The word invalid comes from the Latin root word, which means impossible. It was impossible for this man to get to the cure, to get into the water. It was impossible. It was not some matter of him fulfilling some condition, it was impossible for him. It was impossible, like adding two and two and coming up with five. Now, although I had this in my notes, I thought, we live in a day, however, where I'm sure that the people who are now at work in our schools, they would probably find a way to say two and two is five. Although I think most of us still think two and two is four. But today, we don't know. Schools are doing funny things. But in this day, this man was in an impossible situation, laying at the side of a pool. A description of him characterizes the spiritual condition of all those as well around him. And it says they were blind, they were lame, and they were paralyzed, unable to do that which they needed to do in order to be healed and to be right in the sight of God. But along comes Jesus, and it simply says he knew the man's condition. Have you ever thought of that? It just simply says he knew it. The great physician comes. He's not wanted by those who are at the pool. The great physician is there who could heal by his sovereign word, and those that are laying by the pool are lame and blind and paralyzed and unable to see the Savior. But he comes, and he knows this man's condition. He knows what this man needs. He knew from eternity what he needed, and Christ knows your condition as well. He knows your life. He knows all about your suffering, and he offers you hope for the impossible situation that you might have. And your needs, it's a picture, if we take it seriously, of the glory of the gospel of his grace. Because it comes to people who are lame and blind and paralyzed. He comes to them, and he comes to us. And he knows what we need, and he heals us by his sovereign grace. And that's exactly what he does to this man. He simply tells him, take up your bed and walk. You know, think of that for a moment. The man had been laying there for how long? 38 years? Laying in his own bed. You know, I get in trouble because my bed doesn't often get made by me. It gets a little grungy at times. You have that problem too, you know. And you know, you pull the sheets and you take care of it and so on. But here was a guy who might have been able to pull the blanket over himself, but that would probably be about it. And for 38 years, that's a long time, he was in this hopeless, helpless condition. And then Jesus comes along. And the whole point of John's discussion with this man is to point him to his need to look to another, not to himself. Notice what he said. I can't get up and get to the pool in time. I can't do it. His problem was is that he was trying to do it himself. Self-effort. I don't have anybody to help me. And he said that. And the absurdity of it is that in front of him was Jesus. He was without strength. Jesus, by his sovereign word, gave this man the ability to be healed. And he healed him by his sovereign word. The sovereign king comes and cures by sovereign grace. He comes to find you when you're lost. You don't come to look for him. He came to look for you. Will you argue that you are not helpless? That you are not blind and lame or paralyzed? If you will argue God's verdict upon your spiritual capabilities, you will not be saved. But the Bible teaches that God will not debate this verdict of the spiritual condition of the human race. God declares that the creature is not the creator. You are not as perfect as the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes you a spiritual paralytic, or any other name for any other handicap that you may wish to apply to it. But the glory of the fact of the gospel is this: that's the ones for whom Jesus came. And there were hundreds that needed healing and help. He came to this man and he was healed by his sovereign power. And that's the message of the gospel. God heals by his sovereign grace. No matter what your condition is, no matter what your situation is, God is able. And if he has singled you out, if he has come to you by grace, praise him for that grace that makes you the object of his everlasting mercy. There is no problem so great that it's a hindrance to God, because he delivers by the divine springs of grace that will flood the soul of everyone who believes in him. The divine physician comes with his word of power, and he gives a strange command, if you will, to this individual who is at the pool. Take up your bed and walk. What was the one thing the guy couldn't do? For 38 years, he couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. From anything else, it would be cruel. It's like asking somebody that's stalled at the side of the road. The hood's up on his car. His hands and his arms are full of grease. And you pull up next to him and you say, "Is there something the matter with your car?" No. It's pretty obvious. And what's obvious here is that the Lord gives hope to this man and healing by his sovereign word. The man couldn't cure himself. The man couldn't find any hope for himself. He required the Christ who came to him, and in gracious power he healed him. And that same word of grace is yours today through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God is the same. His promises are sure. A firm foundation exists for the people of God, and we can look to him and to his word to find all that we need to be completely healed. He heals completely. When Jesus heals, he heals and we are healed immediately. What did this man do when Jesus told him to pick up his bed and walk? That's easy. He picked up his bed and he walked. Something, can you imagine others that were sitting there going, "Wow, this guy has been here for 38 years. And Jesus simply says, get up and walk and roll up your bed." And he did. Jesus is the sovereign divine physician. This miracle demonstrates the glory of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord and sovereign over all. And it is recorded here in Scripture so that, as John says in John 20, verse 31, that you may believe that Jesus is the anointed, the Christ, the Son of God. It is here that you might come to the fountain of the water of God's grace and find healing and strength and forgiveness. It's an invitation for you to come to the Bethesda of God, the healing of God, and trust in the divine physician. Believe and be saved. That's the gospel of God's grace, for which we are ever thankful. Not only today, but we will be for eternity. May God be praised. Amen.